Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 this evening, we're going to start reading in verse 5. Luke chapter 1 and starting in verse 5 tonight. You know, there's a lot of different places that they celebrate Christmas different way. If you go to different countries, you're going to find just different things. And I found a couple online that I thought were, they're different than how we do it. So in Greenland, right up where the shoals are, one tradition is they eat something called mattock. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but so it's a strip of whale skin with blubber on it. I'm not sure how they prepare it, but they eat that. And they say it tastes like coconut, and I will take their word for it. I don't know that I'm going to try that with our family. That's something they do. In Germany, I read that on December 5th that the kids will put out like a pair of boots outside their room, and the parents will put candy in that for them to have the next day, which that's when I'll get on board with. many Japanese families, they eat KFC on Christmas Day. And really, it's chicken. They eat chicken, but like a very convenient place to get it. So that, yeah, there you go. Yeah, so they don't have to cook it. They'll just go to KFC and get it. Right, all these different things. We all have our traditions, you know, our different ways of celebrating. I bet if we went over to their countries, they'd go, you do what with a tree? You bring the tree inside, or, you know, you hang socks on your mantle. Right, we all have our different ways of celebrating Christmas and all these different things. But really the question I want to ask is, what are we really, as Christians, what are we celebrating at Christmas? You know, the world, they celebrate Christmas too, but as Christians, what is it that we're really celebrating? And we know it's the birth of Jesus Christ, but that means so much to us, doesn't it? Right? There is so much that the birth of Jesus Christ means to us. And I want to take some time in the next couple weeks to understand what this means. And we're going to go through three of the angelic messages that are given in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And the messages that was given to these different people, the reaction, the response to them, because it gives us a good insight into what we're really celebrating at Christmas, some of the things. It's not certainly not comprehensive. So over the next 3 weeks, and I was planning for this, you know, planning out this, you know, because we ended the one at Thanksgiving. I'm like, well, we only have like a couple weeks and then Christmas and then the New Year. So I was like, I'm going to start like a bigger series later. I said, so I need something short. So I'm planning it all out. I forgot we're having the Christmas concert on one of these Sunday nights. So I have three messages and two Sunday nights, which means one of them is going to be on a Wednesday night. I'm not sure which Wednesday night. I'm going to surprise you. So anyways, that's kind of the plan. But we're going to start tonight in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have tonight to spend in your word. And we ask that you would help it to be a very profitable time for us tonight. May you glorify yourself this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what are we celebrating at Christmas? Well, what I want to see tonight is that really what we're celebrating is change, a change that has taken place in us. One of the famous stories around Christmas time is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. He published it back in 1843, and we're familiar with the story, right? It's about Ebenezer Scrooge, who is like the epitome of like anti-Christmas, you know, bah humbug and all of that. You know, he's this rich guy, but he's old and he's stingy and he's grumpy and grouchy and all of that, right? He hates Christmas. Well, then on the story goes, on Christmas Eve, he is visited by the ghost of his old business partner, Jacob Marley. And Jacob Marley is, you know, he's a ghost who goes around in chains and he's, you know, has to wander the earth because of, you know, his life of greed and selfishness and all of that. And he tells Ebenezer Scrooge that he is about to be visited by three more ghosts. And so he tells Ebenezer Scrooge, you have to listen to these ghosts so that you don't end up like me. All right, so here's this story. And sure enough, the ghosts of Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas yet to come, they show up and they take Ebenezer Scrooge around and they show him these different scenes, right? And so all these things that these ghosts show him has this impact upon his heart, and he changes. And all of a sudden, he wakes up Christmas morning, he's a new man, and he loves Christmas, and he's just so generous now. And he does all these things, gives all this stuff out, right? And it's this story of like change at Christmas time, and this person who is hard-hearted, now they're loving and they're generous, and that's the Christmas spirit, right? The Christmas spirit of kindness and all of that, and the change that takes place in this man's heart. And, you know, Charles Dickens, he was close, but he got a lot wrong about that. We celebrate change at Christmas, don't we? But it's not a change that happens because we've been haunted by any sort of ghost, right? Or, you know, or anything like that. It's the change that happens because of Jesus Christ, the change that he brings about in our life. And in Luke chapter 1, we have the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, these two godly individuals who love the Lord. It says in verse 6, they're both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Zacharias is serving in the temple. They're serving the Lord. But now their life is about to change. Number one, they're going to have a boy, right? They're going to have a child when they have not been able to. But also, that child we know is John the Baptist, who is going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So all of a sudden, things are in motion where they've had this period of time where it's just been, they call it the silent years, where there was no prophecy and they've been waiting for the Messiah. And all of a sudden, things are happening, and things are happening fast. John the Baptist is going to be born. Jesus Christ is going to be born. And the Messiah is here. And all of a sudden, things are about to change a lot for them. And so when we read the angel's message, and then when we come down to the end of Luke chapter 1 and we read Zacharias is rejoicing and his message of praise that he gives, it talks about a number of things that are changing for them and for Israel, and then also for all those that believe on Jesus Christ. We don't have time to cover all of them. We're just going to highlight two of them. So the first tonight, things that have changed that really give us reason to celebrate at Christmas. Number one, there's a change in devotion. We're going to go all the way down to verse 16. As the angel talks to Zacharias about John the Baptist, the son that they were going to have and what he was going to grow up to do and how God was going to use him, the angel says in verse 16 that many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There's many of the children of Israel that he was going to turn to the Lord. Now, we know if we read a little further in the Gospels, we get a bit of a sense of the condition of the hearts of at least some of the people in Israel at the time. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, if you will. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14. Jesus, as he's talking to the multitudes and talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14, he references a prophecy of Isaiah that's being fulfilled in his time. And this was the prophecy. He says in verse 14 of Matthew 13, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus looked at the crowds and said, this is what is going on. He goes, you know that passage in Isaiah that you've heard before, you heard growing up, right? The priests have told you this passage. He goes, I don't know if you realize that, but that's you. You are fulfilling that passage. And you know, of all the prophecies you want to be a part of fulfilling, it's not that one, right? You don't want to be a part of that one. But that was the condition of the people at that time. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, it says Jesus was grieved for the hardness of their heart. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25, even after the resurrection, Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It was a condition of that time, but it's also this universal condition, right? Where we have hearts that are sinful, hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked, and just they're hard. They're hard to the things of God. They're hard to the gospel. And in Luke chapter 1, the angel, as he speaks, he's reminding Zacharias of what Malachi chapter 4 and Malachi 4 and verse 5 and 6, where Malachi said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Right, that was a prophecy of John the Baptist, who would be after the spirit and power of Elijah. And here's what he was going to do, Malachi said. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So it wasn't Elijah, but it was a prophet like Elijah. But it's interesting because the prophecy says, and it's repeated in Luke chapter 1, is that in verse 17, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And the idea in that is, the fathers would be like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and those godly men that went before. And the hearts of the children that have been hardened would now be turned to be like the hearts of their fathers. Men who loved God, men who were devoted to God, men who lived for God. And now we have those and we have the hearts of their children, their great-grandchildren, the descendants, whose hearts have waxed cold and hard. And those hearts were going to be turned back to the Lord so that they would become like the hearts of Israelites in times past, real men of God who lived for the Lord and who loved the Lord. There was going to be that change. And in Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, the Lord says, I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And the Lord said, they're going to know me. And when they do that, their hearts will turn toward me. And there's this connection here between knowing God and loving God. And we understand, right, that when you know God, when a person really knows God, they cannot help but love God. When you really get to know God, how can it not be that your heart just grows more and more in love for God? That's what's going to take place with Jesus Christ. That John was going to be this one who would point the people toward the Messiah. And in doing that, they would get to know the Messiah and their hearts would turn to the Lord. And John was going to have a part in that ministry. And if we use this picture, right, John was like the ambulance driver. Jesus Christ was like the doctor in the ER with those paddles, right? Shocked their heart. And John was just the one who's bringing them to Jesus Christ. But what a ministry that was, to be the one who is able to do that. And with John pointing people to Jesus Christ and then the work of Jesus Christ, it was this time of change where there was going to be a change that takes place in people's lives and in people's hearts. And I like John, 1 John chapter 4, and I want you to turn there with me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. John talks so much about love in this chapter, but in verse 16, the first part of verse 16, John says, we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. And that is where it starts. It starts with us coming to this understanding and knowing God, then seeing the love of God that he has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when we come to Christ, we know that. We understand how much God loves us and how much God has done for us. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And then when we come down to verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. That's when we start to love God, is when we know God and our hearts turn to the Lord in devotion, where the things that we loved before, we don't love those anymore. Now we've changed. We love Jesus Christ. We love God, and we strive to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. We strive to love not the world, the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We strive to love God. That's the change that's been brought about because of Jesus Christ. And at Christmas, we celebrate our love for Jesus Christ, don't we? Jesus Christ, who was born in that manger, but didn't stay in that manger. He went and he died on the cross for us. He was buried. He rose again. And that's what Christmas is about. We love Jesus Christ. We love our Savior. And we love every part of the story of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But we weren't always that way, were we? We didn't always love God. There's been a change that's taken place in us. Where we used to be at enmity with God, we used to fight against God, in rebellion against God. We didn't always love God, but we do now. And there's a change that's taken place because of Christmas, because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And so we celebrate that. We celebrate the change that's taken place in us, the change of our heart. We celebrate a change of devotion. But then number two, and lastly tonight, not only a change of devotion, but there's been a change of, or a change in illumination. So back in Luke chapter 1, we have the message that God, that the angel gives to Zacharias about the fact that he's going to have a son. We have some questioning on the part of Zacharias, and so he is struck dumb. He is not allowed to speak until there's till his son is born and his name is called John. So then there's some details that happen, some other events that happen in the middle of Luke chapter 1. Toward the end of Luke chapter 1, we have Elizabeth gives birth to this baby boy, and the people are like, well, we need to call him Zacharias after his father. And, you know, Zacharias, he still can't talk, and he's like, no, we're not gonna do that, right? So they bring him something to write on, and he writes out, his name is John, because that is what the angel said. And so then he is allowed to speak. And right away, verse 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. So this is his reaction to all of this, his response to the message of the angels and the birth of his son by his wife who could not have a child. And he says, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And here's the verses we're going to look at, verse 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, a change in illumination. One of our family traditions that we do around Christmas time is we get everybody in the van and we go drive around in neighborhoods and look at Christmas lights. We like to do that. I hang a few on our house, but I like to see other people's hard work. You know, I let them climb on the ladders and buy all that stuff. I put some out, okay, but I can do it all without a ladder. But I appreciate the hard work that other people do, and I like to look at that. But to me, one of my favorite themes in the whole Christmas story is that of light and darkness. And you see it all through the story. It begins back with prophecy, and it's referenced by Zacharias in verse 79, where he talks about them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. That's a reference to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And then we come down to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This prophecy of Jesus Christ who would be the light to those that sit in the shadow of death. Another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 60. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. John, when he starts his gospel in chapter 1, he talks about Jesus Christ as in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. And then we have Luke chapter 2, if you'll go there with me. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, this picture of light and darkness. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock, when? By night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And we can just picture the darkness with these shepherds and maybe the small glow of a lamp that they might have there or something that effect. And all of a sudden, the brightness of that angel as it shines upon them, and probably to the point where they had to cover their eyes. You know how it is. You're in the dark and somebody flips the light on. You're like, oh, turn that off, right? All of a sudden, there was the brightness of this angel. And that, just again, that picture of light in the darkness. In Luke chapter 2, if we keep going to verse 29, when Jesus is a little older and they bring him to the temple, and he meets Simeon, this elderly man who has been waiting for the Messiah. And he says in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And he said, he is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He references again that prophecy, though. It's about light in darkness. We have another picture, which is the wise men. They following the light of that star to find Jesus Christ. And all of these pictures of light in darkness. But we know what the real darkness, right? It's the darkness of our hearts. It's the darkness of sin, the darkness of wickedness. And then we have the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And just that contrast that's there. But you know what's also interesting in this is that all of those that are in darkness are invited to the light, right? The shepherds in the darkness, they're told, you go and you find the light of the world. The wise men, they were brought by the light of that star to find Jesus Christ. In Simeon's case, Jesus Christ was brought to him, but we have darkness and those in darkness who then are invited to the light. I said, you come out of that darkness and you find the light of Jesus Christ. I love that picture because Christmas is that time, you know, where it's in the winter and days are darker and, you know, night is longer. Not days are darker, days are shorter. Night is longer and it just seems like it's a darker time. And so we put up lights, right? And we see the light that's there. It's just this reminder for us of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we celebrate the light of the gospel that was found in Jesus Christ, the light of the world who came into our darkness and showed us the gospel, showed us holiness and righteousness and love and mercy and grace, and all of that shined into the darkness of our hearts. There was a song that when I sang for a choir in college, one of the songs we sang was, I think it was entitled, I've Come from the Darkness, but one of the verses of the song, when I've come from the darkness to the light of the Lord, I have come from the night to the day. He has guided my footsteps in the truth of his word. By his love, he has shown me the way. I have come from the darkness to the light of redemption from sin. Oh, my soul will rejoice in his might, for my Savior dwells within. We've left the darkness, and we rejoice in that. We celebrate that, and we're reminded of that at Christmas time, in the darkness, with the lights that we see. And we understand, as much as we enjoy the lights of the Christmas tree and the lights that we hang on in the houses, we enjoy the light that is Jesus Christ. we enjoy the gospel. And it's just this reminder again to us of the darkness that we have left behind, that was our life before Jesus Christ. And we've changed. That's no longer our life. We're no longer in darkness. Now we're in Jesus Christ. We're in the light of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that. We celebrate the change from darkness to light. And so Christmas is a time when we celebrate the changes that Jesus Christ has brought. And I remember as a child at Christmas time, and but you know, you see all the presents that are under the tree and you get real excited as a kid because there's so much potential there, you know, for toys. That's what you're really looking for. Like every box and every bag, you're like, oh, there could be like my favorite toy in there, that toy that I asked for, right? That list that I gave that was really unrealistic, but that I wanted, like everything. There's so much potential that's there. But there was always one type of present that was pretty disappointing. It was clothes. You know, you open it, you go, socks, yay. Thank you, you know, and church clothes, yay, a new, you know, like another dress shirt. You're like, oh, boy, I can't wait to put that on for next Sunday. You know, I'm so excited about all these clothes, right? Not exciting, right? And the thing is, though, what's worse is that that present could have been a toy and they put clothes in there, right? It's not just that you got clothes, it's that you did not get a toy in there. You didn't get that present. But now we get older, right? And now new clothes are, they're a bit more exciting, right, for us. I think they are, you know, to get clothes. And it's a chance, right? It's a chance to, the styles of last year, you don't have to wear those styles anymore. Now you get to wear the styles of this year and the colors of this year. Or maybe that's not us. Maybe it's just, I don't have to wear the shirt with holes in it anymore. The shirt with stains in it, right? Maybe that's the level that we're on. Whatever, right? Old clothes, those are passed away. Now we have new clothes. And you know, that's just another picture of the change that's taken place. And I like if we pair that idea with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things are become new. The change that we've had in Jesus Christ. You know, the old clothes we used to wear, they were the rags of our righteousness. You talk about clothes that are stained, clothes that have holes in them. But those things just covered and were our attempt to hide the chains of sin that had wrapped us, that had bound us. And we put on those clothes of our righteousness and we thought, we look good. You know, we've done it. We've fixed ourselves up. And the Lord looked at him and said, it's filthy rags. And he says, why don't you come to Jesus Christ? And you can throw all that away. All your righteousness, you can take all that. Take the chains off. He says, I'll remove all of that and I will give you a new garment of righteousness to wear. And that change that's taken place. And it's a change in us who did not love Jesus Christ. But our devotion has changed. Now we do. We love Jesus Christ and we try to love him with all our heart and all our mind, all our soul and all our strength. We try and devote ourselves more and more to Jesus Christ every single day. We've changed. There's been a change in from darkness to light because of Jesus Christ. And of all people this year, we as Christians have the most reason to rejoice. We have the only reason to rejoice and celebrate at Christmas time. And it's because of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to see tonight. What I want us to remember is that we're different. We're changed because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And it started in that manger when Jesus Christ was born. And then he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. And we are different because of Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the change that you've made in us. And Lord, at Christmas time, there's so many things that draw our attention, so many things that distract us, but help us to remember what you have done for us. Help us to remember Jesus Christ at this time. Lord, may we rejoice and may we celebrate the change that you have brought about in our lives. So we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.